Welcome to week 5 of our Lent series called Adventures in Prayer. I hope you've been enjoying the adventuring. We come to the final week this week, and it really is an adventure, I think I would say, of kinds of prayer that lots of people have tried but maybe don't realise. Let me explain. Do you remember last summer when we were clapping for carers outside our homes at 8 o'clock every Thursday evening? Well, I was a very keen participant. I had my saucepan and my apple corer because, you know, clapping's hard going after a while. And I didn't want my hands to get weary, so I'll take my saucepan. But do you know what? Week after week, I did find I got weary. I got weary of it. I would stand at the door and think, oh, I don't really, you know, it was hard to get motivated. And one day I was walking towards our front door, saucepan and apple corer in hand, and God said to me, it's a prayer. The nation may be doing this as a celebration, as a thank you. That's all true. But for you, it is to be a prayer. And as I banged my saucepan, I prayed. And I found that there was a different energy to what I was doing. I found that there was a different energy to my clapping. I found that there was a different energy to my investment in that activity, because I wasn't saying words in my head. I wasn't formulating prayers and speaking them, either silently or out loud. I was simply banging a saucepan. But with my body, with my arms, with my muscles, I was praying for our key workers, our NHS carers, those who were using their bodies to care for others, spending their energy on behalf of others. And I spent my energy as a prayer. And I remember that night, I was the last to finish banging my saucepan. Prayer is something, as I've said in previous weeks, which we have often limited to words. We have limited prayer to being what we can formulate in our minds. And it is so much more vast, so much bigger than that. And I want to just say three things to you to bear in mind about prayer, which I hope might enliven, deepen your prayer experience. I want to talk about posture in prayer. You know, do you sit to pray? I usually sit to pray, but the Bible is full of people who take different postures in prayer. Dancing, David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. Lying prostrate on the ground in supplication, in penitence, kneeling, of course, and standing. You could even say perhaps walking around the walls of Jericho was some kind of a prayer. The Bible is full of people taking different postures in prayer. And I wonder whether we might find our prayers, as I say, enlivened and deepened by taking different postures. It's something we sometimes do in church. You might be somebody who kneels to pray. But what about using posture in your own personal prayer? What about thinking, what is this prayer that I'm about to make? Where are my emotions at the moment? Somebody once said, when we lie down, we connect most deeply with our feelings. I think it was even a piece of research that was done, though I couldn't tell you where to find the results. When we lie down, we connect deeply with our feelings. When we sit, we connect with thinking, with our thinking mind. Perhaps sometimes we need to lie down because our prayer needs to be an expression of emotion rather than a rational discourse. Standing has that posture of perhaps determination, standing to pray a prayer against injustice. Standing is also honouring. I know people who stand as they worship, even if they're just in their own sitting room. They stand to worship because God is worthy. So posture. Secondly, what about movement? What about walking? What about, as I've said, dancing? What about moving your body as an expression of your prayer? I remember being at a prayer seminar a number of years ago, many years ago now, and we were invited to find a posture, which was something like I've just explained. We had to take a posture that suited a prayer we were praying. And I remember I was feeling terribly bowed down, so I crumpled myself up on the floor in a sort of a fetal position. And then we were invited to move our bodies as a prayer to a position that we felt God was calling us into. So the seminar leader encouraged us not to use any words, not to try and put it into words, just to sense what the Spirit might be prompting us to do with our bodies. And I remember stretching first one leg, then an arm, and gradually easing myself out of that crumpled up posture. And eventually I found myself lying sort of prone, starfish style, on the floor. You have to be with people you feel comfortable with in these seminars, don't you? And I remember thinking, this feels like the place of rest. Feels like the place where I am able to relax into the rest of God from that crumpled up space. Movement. Is there a movement that you might do? Moving also opens up our minds. It opens up our hearts. I find if I walk and pray, I often feel somehow unstuck. So what about introducing movement into your prayer, be that movement on the spot or walking around your local community, walking in nature, dancing if you're a dancer. If you're not a dancer, dancing perhaps. And thirdly, so we've had posture, we've had movement. What about action? There's a lovely story in the book of Kings, in the second book of Kings, and King Hezekiah has received a letter which he's not very happy about. It's from a foreign ruler who is threatening to wipe out Hezekiah's people. And he takes the letter to the temple. He goes to prayer. And he opens the letter up and he spreads it out before God. I love that. God knows what's in the letter. Hezekiah knows what's in the letter. But there is something about that action of taking the letter and spreading it out. Good old Elisha. At so many times, Elisha did things which I think were prayers, but they were physical actions. Pouring salt into a spring of water, dropping a stick in a river to help find a lost axe head. If you look at the early chapters of 2 Kings, chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you'll see all sorts of moments when Elisha seems to have been praying, but doing so with physical actions. And I know for me, sometimes doing something feels like a prayer. Doing something seems like the right prayer. Well, is that a prayer, you ask? Isn't that just doing something? Well, yes, action has merit of its own. But of course, there are times when, again, prayer doesn't have to be words. Prayer might be the hand on the shoulder of a loved one who is grieving, an arm around the shoulders. That's as much a prayer as anything we might say, isn't it? And I think for me, sometimes prayer needs to be an action. Sometimes if I'm really wrestling with something in prayer, I find doing a housework task that's quite hard going, giving something a good scrub. And as I scrub, I realise I'm not just scrubbing this wall or scrubbing this dirty dish. I'm praying. My body is turning that action into a prayer for the situation that rests on my heart. So posture, movement, action. And I'm going to finish this talk by inviting you to try out some posture praying. I'm going to read Psalm 51 to you, and I'm going to invite you at different moments to take a different posture. So find a comfortable space, make sure you're feeling comfortable, and not overlooked if you don't want to be, and find a space, and I'm going to read these words to you, and I invite you to, I'll tell you as we go through how to change your posture if you'd like to do so. I'm going to invite you to start lying face down on the floor as I read these first six verses. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. against you. You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. For the next verses, I invite you to come to a kneeling position. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. And for these final verses, I invite you to come to a standing position. You may even like to hold your arms out in front of you, or even up above your head. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen. And as this particular recording finishes, perhaps you'd like to think and reflect on how that felt. How did it feel to be in those different positions? How did it change the prayer, as it were, that you were praying as I was reading those words? And perhaps next time you might like to have the psalm to hand yourself and read it as you take those different positions. Verses 1 to 6 in a lying down position, face down position. Verses 7 to 14 in a kneeling position. Verses 15 to 21 in a standing position. May God bless you. May God bless us as we explore the joy of praying not only with our words, but also with our bodies.